Hello and welcome to whatever the hell this is. This is an interview. That's what it is. I'm doing an interview today with someone very amazing, a guy I met in New York City. I met him at, we were both speaking at another conference together, and I got sat down sort of waiting for my turn to speak, and I saw him go up and give a speech, and he said some things that I was really surprised to hear come out of his mouth. And the reason why I was surprised is because I thought I was the only person who thought them. And being, you know, a professional dating coach, that's kind of a crazy thing to say because there's a lot of regurgitated content and people are sort of, you know, just taking something they learned from somebody else and then repurposing it and then, you know, teaching it like they made it up. And so when I heard my friend Rob start talking a lot more about stuff that was really actually what was effective, that people, I don't hear anybody talking about, and the stuff that I didn't think anyone else really knew, it was really interesting. So after he came down from speaking, I talked to him for a little while, and he's really got his stuff together. He's one of the best guys that I've seen at or sort of integrating all of his attraction stuff into every aspect of his life instead of like turning into an attraction guy and stopping and being like a normal dude or faking it or being somebody else. So, Rob Judge, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really awesome of you.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction, Josh. I appreciate it. And yeah, vice versa. I think, you know, we connect on a wavelength. As, you know, two guys, you kind of figure this stuff out ourselves. And that's why a lot of, you know, some of our ideas are similar, but yet, you know, haven't really been touched upon by other people. Because I think that really takes guys who have been in this for a couple of years to recognize each other and kind of, you know, to pool our ideas together.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, as you and everyone who's listening to this call probably knows by now, there's a lot of crap out there because there's the internet.
Really?
And, yeah,
really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't go looking for it. You'll find it. You don't want to find it. But you know, if you have studied it all, I think a lot of the guys that come to that find me particularly are happy about how all my everything that I say works and it's not just a bunch of crap. And I sort of I respect you a lot for the same quality. I feel like a lot of the stuff that you're saying, I was like, that just makes complete sense, you know. And it's really rare to run into someone who does that, so I really appreciate that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy to explore this conversation with you. And I've got a lot of really cool questions in my head that I've been wanting to ask you and been waiting for this interview to ask you. So would love to get that. All very intimate, all about the size of your genitalia, things like that. We're going to get into a really intimate conversation. No, not
oh, man.
I'm kidding. I've already seen the pictures. I know the size of your genitalia. First my question, and I'm curious about your answer to this question more than I am most people's answers to this question, because you come to sort of a lot of the same conclusions that I have. I'm kind of wondering, when you got into this, was there sort of one girl that sparked your interest in learning this stuff in the first place?
Absolutely. You know, I know every instructor has a similar, like a, you know, a variation on the same story. It's either I was a total loser or this one girl broke my heart. And mm-hmm. I have the this one girl broke my heart story. And, you know, it's funny for me. If you had told me, you know, 7-8 years ago that I'd be sitting on a Skype interview talking about dating, I would have, you know, I would have thought this is ridiculous, because I had met the girl I thought was like my soulmate at maybe like 17, 18 years old, mm-hmm. dated her all through college. I was absolutely convinced that this girl was going to be my wife, mother of my children. And, you know, I really never considered myself a guy who was good with women. I just was, I've always felt very grateful to have had this girlfriend. And, you know, around Christmas time, maybe 2005, 2006, she cheated on me and dumped me. And it was just like the worst. Yeah, it was just like, you know, my whole world just kind of came crashing down at that point. And, you know, I just went into a real funk, a real depression. And I kind of really just wanted to find out answers. At first, I sought out the answers of the dating advice industry. But as I ventured further down that rabbit hole, I started realizing that I'm better off just going out, you know, throwing my pride out the window and just trying everything, you know, trying whatever I think might work, trying all kinds of crazy theories in my own head until I kind of stumbled upon, you know, a way that I can consistently just meet and attract women and, you know, enjoy a lifestyle that I really wanted rather than was just handed to me like I was with this first girl.
Right. So whenever you got into sort of studying, like you were saying before, And you're looking back in sort of the beginning parts. Some of the things that I want to talk about today, I want to talk a lot about, you know, attraction, which I think would be very, very fun to do. But also, like, you know, you have sort of an air of, like, you're sort of at the same level of confidence no matter what's going on around you, it seems. And I'm really curious sort of how that came about. And I want to get into that in a bit. And I want to get into how to go up and talk to a girl, how to get the phone number, you know, how to get a date, all those questions I would like to get into here in a little bit. So I definitely want to get into those. So if you're listening to this, stick around for sure. And but I want to continue with this because I have a couple more questions about your story.
Sure.
Whenever you know, you sort of threw your pride out the window, like you sort of really glossed over the story, obviously.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of emotion involved in everything. But whenever you threw your pride out the window, what sort of prompted you to do that? I mean, what was it? Like, what did you have a realization that said, my pride's getting in the way, or you saw someone else doing it, or what happened? Like, how did you come to that conclusion that was something you needed to do?
That's a great question, because, you know, that's something that a lot of guys don't consider. And I think that this is one of the number one things that holds guys back is, you know, I kind of came to the realization that I can't go about this with my pride. Like, I started realizing that, like, when I would try to go out and I try to look like I was like a cool guy, or if I was talking to a girl on the street and I tried to make it, I was trying to look like I was like a pimp or something, or I was like, you know, doing really well with her and I wasn't, it really kind of held back my learning curve, because I wouldn't try as hard. I wouldn't do stuff that's outside my comfort zone. I would kind of like approach girls, but I'd approach girls under like almost kind of holding back a little bit, almost like the guy that, you know, dips his toes into the pool but won't just jump into the pool. Yeah. And, you know, I really just started realizing that, like, you know, I wasn't making that much progress doing that. I knew it. I could feel it. Like, I could feel that, like, these girls were just responding to me. I was getting the exact same responses I was getting for years. And I was like, nothing's changing. I don't feel different. So really, like, if I'm going to do this, I have to, like, just forget about looking like an asshole, looking like the guy who's getting rejected in front of everyone, look like the guy who everyone's going to laugh at. And you know what? Like, I was that guy for a long time. But, you know, I really think that, like, learning these skills, it's an incredible ability, but there's a very high price to pay for that. And I think the price of that is your pride. You have to pay, like, to get the ability to walk up to any girl you want, because every guy would want that ability. You really have to, like, pay with your pride, with your ego, with your masculine. So you always guys have, like, this masculine image of themselves that, like, you know, that they want to, like, kind of, like, half-ass it and, like kind of study this stuff in secret and do it maybe, like, you know, 30%. But if you actually want to get good at this, and, you know, like you know, any guy that's listening to this knows your information, they have some great information in front of them, but really, they want to, like, actually implement that information, they have to go 100% full throttle. They can't do it like 30 or 40%.
Right. And it's interesting, because if you think about it, you know, most guys would think logically, if you go 30 or 40%, you'll get 30 or 40% of the results. But that's not true. If you go 30 or 40%, you get about 5% of the results.
Yeah.
And that's because most of what we consider to be the results are in the last 10%, you know, that last bit where they're, like, really going full speed and they're making it happen. And I had a really similar experience, which is why I asked you. I had, when I very, very beginning of me studying all this, I actually came into this space of studying attraction through Zen study, of all things. So I was studying Zen, and a huge part of studying Zen was destroying the ego. And I know it sounds really strange, and it sounds like, you know, woo-woo or something, and it definitely was not like that for me. I was doing Kung Fu, and part of Kung Fu training was studying Zen. So it was definitely felt a little bit more masculine than how it sounds when it comes out of my mouth. but either way, though, part of that was actually being okay with that and being feeling sort of naked, you know, feeling like, well, this is sort of how I really am, and it's best that I'm just sort of radically honest about it. And so I threw my pride out the window, and I started just trying stuff. And it was funny, like, you know, my fear was that I was going to try something and it wouldn't work. And what I found was that when I threw my pride out the window, I'd try the same thing I tried before when I tried to do it halfway, and it would work this time because I didn't have my pride.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
It's cool that you came to that conclusion too. You also said something in the in your Fearless presentation. I know we were both there for that presentation, and I gave a speech at Fearless. You gave a speech at Fearless as well. Yeah. And you said something there that really sort of got my attention. And that was, you said, it's not about going out looking for numbers. It's about going out looking for truths.
Mm.
And I want to sort of, I would love for everyone to be able to hear this, because this to me was like, that's the first time I was like, this is really interesting. I've never heard anyone talk about this before, but I've definitely thought about this, you know, and it's definitely how I approach it too. So that's one of the first times that I was like, oh, it's kind of interesting. I might want to talk to this guy later on and see what his head is. So, what would you say if you had to, you know, just kind of sort of give a brief overview of what you meant when you said that? What do you mean by when you go out to look for truths?
Sure. Well, you know, again, it's another realization that I had just going out and trying this stuff, is that when I would go out, I used to go out with these objectives. I'd be like, I want to go out and get 5 phone numbers tonight, or I want to go out and I want to approach 12 girls and be open direct, you know, open them all direct. Or I'd say, I want to go out and, you know, accomplish whatever objective. And whenever I go out and do that, I sucked, you know, because I had this expectation in mind. And what I started realizing is like, the real, another thing too, I just want to backtrack a little bit. I think one of the most important things that I had to learn was to make this fun and make this interesting for myself, not make this like a chore or like an exercise or like something that I didn't like doing, because, you know, this takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And ultimately, too, it should be something you enjoy. I mean, you're going out and meeting women. I mean, there's no better use of your time than going out and meeting women.
Yeah.
So I really had to, like, you know, remind myself that, like, all right, I want this to be fun. I don't want this to be like some military operation, or like, you know, or even make it feel like I'm going to the gym or whatever.
Yeah.
So what I started really realizing is that the real fun of a night wasn't even so much getting a girl's number. It was really just going out and really being okay with that uncertainty of like not knowing how a girl is going to respond, not knowing how, you know, when you try an opener, how a girl is going to like react to it. You know, all these kind of question marks, you know, uncovering these question marks really, I think, is like where the fun of like the game really lies. Mm-hmm. So I started looking at it. And when I started just going out, I said, when I would go out, you know, after I started realizing this, I would say to myself in the beginning of the night, I don't care who I approach, I don't care what numbers I get, I just want to go out, I just want to find out the truth of a situation. You know, if I walk into a nightclub and I see 2 girls, I know, you know, I like, the only thing I know for sure is that there's a truth waiting for me. And like that, and I have no clue what that truth is. That truth could be that that girl hates me. It could be that that girl has a boyfriend. It could be that that girl loves me. It could be that that girl is completely compatible with me, that that girl likes me but not enough to give me her phone number. You know, there's so many different shades of truth, you know, attached to that girl. And really the only way that I could like truly get good at this is by becoming obsessed with just finding out that whatever truth is waiting for me. And you know, there's an interesting corollary to that, because when I wouldn't act on that mindset of finding out the truth, the only thing I really knew for sure was the stories I came up with in my own head. And I know every guy listening has probably been in a situation where they'll see a girl at a distance and they'll be like, oh, she looks like a bitch. She looks like she's a kind of girl who would have a boyfriend. Oh, like she looks busy. Mm-hmm. Oh, that kind of girl would never like me. And that may or may not be true, but you don't know. Like, there's absolutely no way you could know that with certainty because you didn't approach her. And if you live your life enough like that, you're basically just living your life in a fantasy. You're living your life in your own head. And that's like, in my opinion, the definition of loneliness is to like not know anything for sure and just live imprisoned by your own thoughts and never taking action. So that idea of like just going out to just learn that truth, whatever it may be, you know, whether it's like the greatest truth ever or the most humiliating truth ever, just like becoming, just like kind of loving that process of like uncovering those truths for yourself, just lets you live in that reality. And it just gives you more of that, like, just like makes you feel like you're actually living your life, like rather than just like kind of like sitting on the sidelines not doing anything.
Right. Now I'm curious, man. That's you know, very close to what I heard you say whenever you're giving that talk, and you know, that's obviously very, very, very powerful. I think that everyone on the call or on the interview right now listening to this interview can attest to that. And if you're not taking notes, by the way, you should definitely be taking notes right now, because this is one of those things that you can rewind obviously and listen to it again, but I would take as many actionable notes as you can. I have another question for you, Rob, before I really jump into the really deep content, like the how-to stuff.
Sure.
You know, how to say hello, how to get a number, that sort of thing. And this is kind of a strange question, so I'm sorry for throwing it on you.
No, it's fine.
What is the big lie that you think most guys – buy into that we have to overcome and have to realize it is a lie?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. And there's so many ways I'd like to answer that question. But if I had to say, like, the single one biggest lie that guys buy into, I really think the biggest lie that guys buy into is that women are these, like, manipulative, conniving, evil people that want to see them get shot down and that they need to learn game to kind of, like, almost, like, get past these, like, bitch shields or, like, these, like, overcome these, you know, women's defenses to them. Almost like women are, like, this, like, immutable fortress, mm-hmm. and they need to, like, learn these tactics to, like, sneak in, you know, past the fortress barriers. Whereas, like, and, you know, and again, the only reason I bring that up is because I definitely felt that way for a long time. Like, mm-hmm. when I started this and I was getting bad reactions from women and I had lived a lifetime of not being good with women, women seemed very scary and very unapproachable to me. But really, like, once I realized that that is a huge lie and that women are going out, they want to meet guys, they want to meet attractive guys, they don't want to see a lot of this, like, bullshit and nonsense and, like, what I call over-gaming, where a guy, she already likes a guy, and a guy feels like he needs to keep doing stuff even though she already likes him. Mm-hmm. These are all the things that I think that guys really, like, if like, there's one thing, or there's, like, one belief I wish I could transfer from my head to, like, most of the guys that I coach, it would be just this one thing: to stop looking at women like they're, like, you know, like they're the enemy. You know, it's the way a lot of guys see women. Like, look at women like they're already on your team. You just need to approach them and just, like, you know, execute some stuff, like, be attractive, you know, display your personality, but don't feel like you need to do anything that's, like, that's, like, weird or, like, manipulative or even, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that the community teaches, like, as we were saying in the beginning of this call, a lot of, like, the bullshit, I think, in the dating advice industry is the stuff that kind of gets in the way of your natural personality. And, you know, again, and I hope it doesn't sound like I'm just saying, oh, just be yourself, because, right. you know, there's a right way to be yourself. But I'm just saying that, like, you have to look at women, the first step of being yourself or like, you know, displaying your personality in an attractive way that, you know, can attract women is you have to stop seeing women like they're some kind of enemy or you need to overcome some kind of, like, defense mechanism, you know,
right.
they're girls.
All right. It's funny because it's almost like one of the biggest conspiracies never told here, you know, is that we're raised by, you know, and I think that the people who are doing this, who are giving us these beliefs, you know, they're in it to protect us in the beginning. You know, I think it's, and, you know, they're not, I don't think they're trying to harm us in the beginning, but I think that what ends up happening is we end up getting this belief. I think almost every guy has this belief at one point or another. I did too, you know? Mm. And it's just, there's so much that we see in the media and TV shows and stuff like this where, you know, where a guy overcomes all these things in order to attract this girl. And it's like, I mean, one classic movie, this is, like, the most amazing thing ever, is, okay, first off, Rob, when you watch movies that have, like, a love, almost every movie has some kind of love line in it, you know, does it ever piss you off when you're watching
them? How unrealistic it is, like, how like, yes,
yeah, absolutely. It's so it makes me so angry because guys are believing this. I believed this for years. Like, I'm watching it and I'm going, for example, Transformers. Have you seen Transformers?
I did not see Transformers, but I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, my sure. God. It was, yeah. Like, it was the worst. I mean, I see sort of what they're getting at, but it was almost like at the end of that movie, I think everyone in the audience was like, yeah, but, you know, that's great and everything. Like, he got the girl at the end, but as soon as this movie's over, she's going to cheat on him. You know, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels yeah. that way. You know, it's like, it's yeah. just like she wanted some, like, big, like, dominant guy. The guy in the movie never learned how to embrace his masculinity. He just had a shitload of social value thrown at him because all these robots liked him. You know, that was like
proofing yourself with a robot.
See, social proof robot. If that's your product, Rob, you are going to make so much money. Bring my social proofing robot in here. Mm. but yeah, man, it's like, it was just stuff like that made me so angry. And I think that the reason why is because, like, guys look at this and they go, oh, it's a heartfelt story. Well, it is, because every guy hopes that is really what's the case. Like, you know, a girl's going to be like, I'm going to spend enough time with a girl that she's going to all of a sudden decide it's a good idea to like me, you know? Or, like, you know, I don't want to play any games. I don't want to do I just want to be very straightforward, but then they don't actually, they're not actually honest because now they're thinking that women are on the other team, thinking that women are against us. So now it's like, I'm going to be very straightforward. I'm going to go up there and get something from her, you know, get this attraction. And I think it's one of the biggest conspiracies that's available to us right now and readily available. And I think that it's kind of hard to be a warrior against that conspiracy because so much big media is sort of propagating it and saying, here, yes, everyone, as we're younger, we're fed this crap. It's just not true. You know?
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And you make a great point that it goes beyond just like, you know, the dating advice industry. I think that this is something that's, you know, fed, you know, forced down our throats since we've been little kids, like watching, you know, TV and movies and the media and even like, you know, ads and magazines. Everything is just like kind of like pointed at leading us in the wrong direction when it comes to our attitudes towards the opposite sex, where, you know, and the only thing that really kind of got me over that was by one, listening to other guys who were good with women talk about women, you know, guys that had a healthy attitude towards women. Mm-hmm. And then just by spending a lot of time with women and listening to them talk and, you know, having girlfriends and talking to them and hearing the way that they would talk about guys who would go to approach them or meet them. And it was just really interesting to me to hear how different it was from my perspective. Like, wow, these girls are, they're not going out to shoot guys down. They're not going out to be bitches. They're not going out to get free drinks and free dinners from guys. These girls are like genuinely want to go out and meet guys and just like almost like exact same things, same insecurities that we have, these girls have too. And, you know, just when you lose sight of that, I think that's when things get kind of dangerous in terms of like, you know, you're just not going to get the results that you want because you're just going to be acting in a way that's incredibly not conducive to, you know, attracting women.
Right. So I think the big question here is if, you know, the big solution, I guess, for this conspiracy, to get over this conspiracy, really, and to sort of wake up, is to know the answer to that question. What is conducive to attracting women? What kind of behavior is actually that behavior? And sort of that's what I want to get into now is a few things that I know a lot of guys are going to have questions for you about. And since I'm on this call with you, I'm going to make sure I ask as many questions as I can for the guys because you're very, very good at describing stuff like this.
And, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I'm going to definitely want to go into it. The first thing is I'm going to ask you how to do a series of things that I know guys want to know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know, give as good a description as you can over the phone, you know, on this interview.
Sure.
And anything else, I'll direct guys to get more in-depth detail on that a little bit later on if they want to go deeper with you, and if they want more information, I can teach them how to do that. So for now, first question. This is the number one question I get from guys. And it's probably close to the number one question you get from guys too. And I know there's no easy answer to this, but I'd like a couple of examples.
Sure.
Most guys want to know, what do I say when I walk up to a girl? You know?
Yeah, totally, totally good question. Like, that's something I wondered. And, you know, and here's the thing. The way I'm going to answer that question is like this. What you say to her, it matters. Like, I'm not going to be one of these guys. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Say anything. Say hi. Because, you know, that's not like, you know, that there's a time and a place where that could work. But, you know, it's not the best way to do things. But let's look at it this way. What you say, consider what you say as one communication channel. And there's about five or six communication channels that are equally as important. Now think about like, and again, it sounds like it's like a sound bite, but really think about that. There are like six or seven other things that are communicating something to her that are just as important as you worrying about what to say. But the problem is because the words are very it's very easy to point to the words and be like, I need to change something or I said the wrong thing. So that's what guys get caught up on. But these other communication channels are this. One, sexual tension, something you guys never consider. And I have students that come into the program all the time. They're never considering how they're like how they're influencing the sexual tension. And very quickly, I'll just tell you right now, some of the things that I do immediately when I open a girl that – amps up that sexual tension is one, I really kind of cut the space between me and her. Like I don't open her like over the back. I don't open her from like maybe like 3 or 4 feet away. When I'm talking to someone, I get right up close to her. And I don't do it in a weird, creepy way, but I walk right up to her. I get right into her personal space. And that's when I start talking to her because I know just doing that one thing already is amping up the sexual tension and it's amping up the attraction. The second thing I always do when I open a girl is within the first 10 seconds, I'll always put my hand out to like take her hand and not to shake her hand like a business handshake. I'll take her hand and actually hold it. Something that guys never do. So key. Because again, this like increases the sexual tension. When you hold a girl's hand, that's increasing the sexual tension. It's increasing the attractiveness. So that's one communication channel.
Right.
The second communication channel, you know, eye contact. Just something, again, everyone talks about it, but so overlooked. Guys just don't look girls in the eye. Or if they do, they do it for like a second and then they break eye contact. You know, learning to get comfortable with holding strong eye contact is a skill. It's not something you could just say, oh, go do that. It's something you need to practice because most guys have a tendency to look away. And it's a habit that like every guy who gets into this has, and you have to break it. And the way you break it is by just going out and constantly reminding yourself, hold eye contact, hold eye contact. She should be the one to break eye contact first when you're initially opening.
That's you know, because I used to play this game where I would walk down the street and I would make eye contact. And as soon as I did, I would hold it until they looked away.
I just do the exact same thing. When I used to walk home, a mile from Grand Central back to my apartment on the Upper East Side. Mm-hmm. And everyone I passed coming out of the office, and I wouldn't even care, guys or girls.
Yeah, me
I
would too. Just keep,
yep, everyone. Just because like, you know, like holding that eye contact, like it's just like literally like building almost like a muscle, you know, you just have to like kind of do it over and over until you feel comfortable just holding eye contact with people.
It can be pretty intimidating too. I remember a few times I would be looking at a guy, you know, and then he would all of a sudden refuse to look away. And all of a sudden we're walking past each other, looking at each other like we're about to get in a fight, you know?
Yeah, it's like, so awkward.
It happened. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. But then the next person I looked at, the next girl I looked at, I was not scared at all.
Yep.
Because I just had so much tension and I got used to that tension too. So that's really cool that you went through the same thing that I did. I definitely recommend that don't look away until they do game. That's
yeah.
Really fun. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. What's the next channel you're talking about?
Okay, so the next channel, so we went over sexual tension, we went over eye contact. The next channel is not just what you're saying. And again, and for any guy listening, I am going to talk about what to actually say, but I just want to go over all these other channels first just because I want to emphasize how important they are.
Right.
You know, the next channel, which guys just don't think about, is not just what you're saying, but it's actually the tone of your voice. And I'm sure guys listening like are probably annoyed because I know I have a tendency to talk very fast, but when I talk to girls, I consciously talk slower and I emphasize every word and I talk like this, like where my voice has a very strong drop at the end. Like I always call it like ending on a hard period. You know, that's the way you want to end your sentences. Guys have a tendency to talk very tentatively, almost like they're asking for permission. You have to give yourself permission. So, you know, your vocal tonality. So, you know, it's another thing I do. I slow down the rhythm of, you know, the speed of my voice, and I try to talk very resonantly, try to talk from my diaphragm and talk very powerfully and loud. And again, I don't have a problem with this because I'm just a loud motherfucker, but like a lot of guys, you know, who get into this don't talk loud. In fact, I would say I don't think I've ever met a student where I've told him to talk lower. Like I've never met a guy who talks too loud. So no matter how loud you think you are, you probably could be louder. So that's just another thing too, like be louder. You know, so all right, so now we talked about, we covered the tone of your voice.
Can I actually say something about that? Because that's,
Sure.
I just got through shooting a video actually, all about vocal tonality and eye contact and touch and topic of conversation. So those were the four things I talked about, which is really funny. But I talked about them in the context of sexuality, like just in being seductive, you know, not just in walking up and talking for the first time. So, and they do shift over time. You will be adding a lot more, obviously a lot more sexual tension to your touch and things like this as you become more sexual with a girl. But with vocal tonality, it's interesting to be able to actually demonstrate that, you know, to hear the before and after.
Yeah.
And I had, one thing that I did to slow myself down, cause the people who are listening right now must be like in pain because we both speak so fast.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's just so hard when I get excited about something too, I talk even faster. So I had a tendency for a while, and I'll tell you what actually made me do this. One time when I first started really like doing this professionally, like right before I got my first, you know, boot camp that I was teaching, you know, I was, you know, I thought that I was hot shit. And compared to that, compared to now, I was like a little baby boy, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was in a bar, and I was talking, whatever, and then I went out and I went to the bathroom. When I got to the bathroom, this guy followed me into the bathroom. And he goes, "Hey, man." And I go, "Hey," some guy talking to me in the bathroom. I was like, "Okay, hey," you know. And he goes, "Hey, can I get some Coke?" And I was like Coca-Cola? Or yeah. He's like, "Nah, man, come on, quit playing. Just give me some Coke," you know? And I was like, "Look, I don't have any Coke, man. I'm not on drugs right now." And he's like, "Come on, it's obvious that you are." He didn't believe me. He didn't believe that I wasn't on Coke. And I was like, something's wrong right now.
Yeah. You know?
That's when I realized for the first time that something was wrong. And I was like, I need to slow this thing down. So I'll tell you what I did that actually helped me slow everything down.
Mm.
I couldn't just slow my voice down because I didn't have as much control over it. You know, I wasn't conscious of my voice. So instead, I started slowing my hand gestures down. And when I did that, my voice slowed down immediately. So I was
I
was using my hand gestures a lot to sort of like go back and forth. And as I would go faster, my voice would go faster. And then as my voice would go faster, my hand gestures would go faster. And you know, and then it was like, I got super excited and it looked like I was fucking high, you know, or on speed or something. And like, instead I slowed my hand gestures down. I didn't even try to slow down my voice. And as soon as I did, I instantly got calmer and then my voice slowed down. And it was really interesting for me. It really helped me a lot to do that. And I'm not sure if you've ever had to slow yourself down in some specific way, but that's what I did to actually slow myself down. So I thought I'd share that real quick.
That's great. That's actually something I absolutely recommend all students do as well is, you know, I always say take your thumb and hook it in the back of your jean pocket and take your pointer finger and point it over your pocket. So you kind of have like this like kind of cool looking cowboy stance. And that's the way I had to train myself to talk to girls because I would use my hands. In fact, as I'm talking right now, my hands are flailing everywhere because like I'm an alien and like, you know, it's just like I was cursed with, you know, the Italian, you know, arm flailing or hand flailing disease. So I would do this a lot, and girls, a lot of the times what was happening to me would be girls would say, are you gay? I was getting like, "Are you gay?" a lot. Mm-hmm. And this was like, it was embarrassing and it was problematic because, you know, you're not going to pick up a girl who thinks you're gay when you walk up. It's just, it's just a game over. If she asks you if you're gay, you know, it's usually not doing too well. So that's something I had to stop. So what I did early on, like maybe in the first, you know, 3 or 4 months of going out and learning the stuff was I absolutely forced myself to hook my thumbs into my back pocket with every girl I talked to, because if I didn't, I knew my hands would just get out of control and I would just flail around too much like a like a homosexual, like T-Rex. It was just, so yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like Mark Bolan. Do you know Mark Bolan?
Mark who?
Mark Bolan.
No, who's that?
He's a glam rocker, lead singer of the band T-Rex.
Oh, okay.
From the 70s. But I don't think he's gay. So I guess it's, maybe it's a little bit off. But anyway, continue. Sorry. I digress.
No, good stuff. So yeah, I mean, even that can be considered like a channel, like, you know, your body language, how you're positioning yourself, you know, in relation to her, which again, like if you just keep your hands kind of, you know, at your side, don't flail around too much, even that communicates something, you know, really good. And then finally, the last communication channel I just kind of want to touch on is what you actually say. And again, this is something that, I don't really have like a magic line, or I don't have like a magic, like, oh, this is what I say to every girl, but I do have a magic mode of communication, what I call a mode of communication. You know, mm-hmm. There's various different ways you can communicate with people. You can ask a question, you can make a comment. But what I found the best mode of communication to use when you open a girl is to open with statements, because, you know, statements force people to give you a response. Like if you walk up and you could say, you know, hey, like, you know, typical like old school opener. It'd be like, oh, like, hey, do Drunk I Love You's count or something. Like, you know, like an old school opener from back in the day.
Right.
And like, you know, that's fine. Like, is that, like, you know, some guys that are starting out might find that like that opener is helpful. But if I was going to use that opener, I'd walk up and I'd just start talking. I would just start talking statements. Be like, oh my God, like, my fucking idiot friend called his ex-girlfriend and, you know, said he loved her when he was drunk, and it's just such a mess. And I would just start telling this story, because what it does, it's like, you know, and again, I'm like, I know you're kind of a dork too. I'm like a dork. And the best literature, there's this mechanism in writing called in media res, which is basically like starting in the middle, like, you know, all the Homeric epics. Like, if you read Homer, all the Homeric epics, they don't start like, oh, there was this war and, you know, the Greeks sailed to, you know, whatever. Instead, it starts with, you know, Agamemnon and Achilles like arguing. You know, it starts right in the middle of the action. And that's the best way to start an attractive conversation. And the way to do that is by using statements. So, you know, and for more of the advanced guys who feel a little more comfortable approaching girls, I really advocate just walking up and being direct. Just walking up like, you know, hey, you're cute. I wanted to meet you. Hey, like, you know, oh my God, my favorite opener, probably my favorite one to use, is just like just walking up and be like, oh, there you are. My girlfriend, my future girlfriend, I've been looking everywhere for you, and here you are. And a lot of the times, you know, girls will laugh and be like, that's such a pickup line. And I'm like, it absolutely is, you know? Uh-huh. But again, it's just like, I don't really care what I say, because I know all the other modes of communication that I'm talking with are going to be dialed. So whatever I say, as long as I speak in statements and I speak, you know, with a resonant, you know, good voice, that it's going to go well, you know, and like my open rate's pretty good at this point, just because like I've learned how to really kind of tweak all those modes of communication. So when I walk up, I'm really projecting a very good presentation of like my best self.
Right. I think that, first off, that's hilarious what you're saying. So that's good. And I want to stress a little bit on, just sort of reinforce that whenever a girl says, that's such a pickup line. I think what most guys do that, and this is what I found over time, is that the difference between me being successful and me sort of being rejected was me accepting that I had just been rejected. So if I accept that, then I leave. But I realized that the times that it actually worked, I would normally think that I just got rejected, then I just kept going and it worked. You know. So most guys, they'd hear that and they'd go, oh, she doesn't like me. She's on to me, you know. Oh, she's laughing at me. She thinks that I'm stupid. And they'd leave. And their girl would be like, where'd he go? That was really great. Or she would go, obviously, that was a pickup line. You know?
Yeah.
So because you left, right? As soon as you said something about it. You know? So what I want to stress here is that the girl still likes you. She says that's such a pickup line. That's okay. It's okay for you to hear that. You're coming across as extremely confident. She's trying to test you to see if you actually are confident. And that's normal. I mean, that would make complete sense. Something we would do too, you know? So, I mean, we wouldn't do it to chicks probably, but, you know, we do our own versions of that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, is that that's one thing that, again, I guess one of the other big lies that, you know, I could have touched upon when you asked me the biggest lie is one of the biggest lies I think guys convince themselves of is when they actually have to walk away from a girl. Like a lot of the times I have students who think they got rejected, who the girl liked them and like they left, my rule is always like, unless the girl leaves or asks you to leave, stick in there, because so much of the time, guys, like you don't know what's going on in her head. She might say stuff that even might sound a little mean to you, but if you actually like watched it on a tape later on, you would watch it and be like, oh, that wasn't mean. Like she probably liked me. And cause like in the moment, things seem really scary a lot of the times, but in reality, like if she's not telling you to leave and she's not walking away, she's still interested. Like, so if she's saying, oh, that's such a pickup line. She likes you. Like she's trying to keep the conversation going. She just like might not know what to say, or she might think that's a funny, she might think that she's making a joke and like you just don't get it, you know? So it's like you said, it's so important for guys to really be okay with what they're doing and to just get in there and kind of like we said in the beginning, like just not have that stupid pride like, oh, like she insulted me, I have to walk away now and she rejected me. That's just stupid. Just hang in there and keep going.
Right, absolutely. There was a game I used to play when I started, you know, when I really wanted to take it to the next level for myself, but this was not a typical game I would play, but I only did it for a little while. But I would say All right, I'm gonna make a girl have to tell me to leave 3 times before I leave. So I would stay there until she told me to leave 3 times, like, or she walked away, right? Then I went and chase her. But so here's what I did. I started doing this. I just wanted to test to see what would happen if I did this. So what I found was about 90% of the time, girls would say something to me once, and then they'd like me after that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, they even asked me to leave, and then they would like me after that. So, and now to your point, I think it's really smart to tell people, you know, only if she asks you to leave or if she walks away, then you can leave, you know, because then you won't create monsters. Because I knew myself, and I knew that if I was, you know, if I got in too deep, it was just my, you know, my night that I was ruining. But I wasn't going to blame anybody for it. But if you're giving somebody that information and they get rejected real bad or get in a lot of trouble or something, then they're going to blame you for it, which is not good. But yeah, so I used to do that every once in a while. I thought it was hilarious. And only about 10% of the time that a girl said, you know, will you leave us alone or something, only about 10% of the time I couldn't turn it around, you know, and then I had to leave. And and it was really interesting for me. No, I don't want to get into too deep because I know that we're just about out of time here, actually. And I know you've got so much information that you can give me and us right now listening on this call. And what you've given so far has just been gold. I mean, it's just been awesome. Different modes of communication, different things to say when you walk up, different ways to learn how to get better at eye contact. Sort of a lot of reframing, a lot of like new ways of looking at women in general, and a lot of like truly understanding the lies that we've been told for most of our lives, and sort of how to get over those lies, sort of the solution to that big lie, the truth, as you were kind of talking about before. So I really appreciate the time you took so far for us to do this. Kind of curious, you know, if it's not about, you know, what we think it's about, it's not about what most guys think and what we've been brought up to think it's about, and it is a bit more about these modes of communication, these sort of like mastering these different modes of communication. It's really about knowing how to approach each one of them at the end of the day. How to approach not just women, but to approach each one of these different modes of communication. And it's more about saying, okay, well, with this one, I have to master it to this level, and I have to do these specific things in order to get better at it. And this is when I know that it's working, and this is when, you know, when I know it's not working. You know, so I think it's kind of something that a lot of guys who are just starting out aren't really ready to implement, which is completely fine.
Mm.
And so I'm kind of curious. I know that you have sort of something that it's not for the average guy, not for a guy who is just like, look, I just want to go get numbers all day, or I just – not that even. That's good. Not for a guy who's like, you know, I just want to walk up and say something to a girl, and then that's it. They don't want to continue and actually get her sexually attracted, get her turned on, get her phone number, have her call him and like really be interested, text him dirty photos and want to meet up with him and just like, you know, have crazy sex all the time and invite her friends in, you know, like some guys want that. Some guys just want to not be so shy anymore, you know? And I know that you've got something that's not really so much for the guys who just don't want to be shy anymore, but the guys who really want that picture in their head, like they walk into a restaurant. I said, let's take a bar. Cause that's like one of the, it's like the Shaolin temple, you know, of meeting women. It's one of the hardest places to meet women is actually at a bar, at a club. Because there's so many obstacles to overcome. You know, you take the hardest place to meet women, and, you know, a guy who's listening, you know, right now he's, you know, imagine this. Imagine that you walk into a bar and, you know, you walk past the bouncer. He knows who you are for whatever reason because you've met him before. And he's like, hey, come on in. You walk past the line. You walk in the door. You see the bartenders. There's two chicks that are at the bar. Both wave at you and say hello, even though the place is packed. Every girl that's within eye shot right now staring at you, wondering what is going on with you and who you are, and they want to know more about you. And just doing that and walking in, as soon as you walk up to a girl, it's almost like you're a celebrity, you know? And this is not something that is what is like very basic. This is something that you have to embody you can only create by embodying a lot of different things, and you have to understand a lot of interesting strategies and interesting techniques that you need to have under your belt in order to do this, because at any moment that can go wrong. And yeah. You know, you want to be able to sustain it. So I know you have some advanced dating strategies that you put together, and it sort of helps guys get to that level, not just to sort of like okay level, but to the next level. Again, I would say if I were to kick people out of the club here, it would be if you're interested in not trying first off, if you don't want to like actually go meet women, but you just want to, you know, buy something and feel good about buying it, you know, like you just did something that's going to make you feel better. I wouldn't suggest this, because this is something that is like the secrets of the Shaolin Temple here, you know, like the secret techniques that people don't really teach each other. And it's really difficult to get this stuff written down and taught in a way that I know that you can teach it. So what are some of the things that you cover just really briefly in advanced dating strategies? And then how can, you know, I'm not sure if it's available now or, you know, in a couple of days, it'll be available. I'm not really sure how you have it, but I want to hear about how we can get our hands on it. If we do feel like we are one of those guys that does want to go to that level, again, if we're just happy being basic, and that's you, if you're happy being basic, then you know, you can basically stop this recording now. You know, you don't have to listen to the interview anymore. But if you do want to get to the advanced level, what do you cover that actually is involved in that advanced level? Like, what are the kind of things that people learn when they get there?
All right. So basically what the advanced dating strategies it's a training course. It's not like an ebook, or it's not like a audio series or like a DVD set. It's actually like a training course that like has like quizzes and has PDFs and it has, you know, video coaching modules, and it, you know, it has like, you know, tons of written content. So you're getting hit with, you know, from all angles to almost like hammer these strategies into your head. And there's 21 strategies in this training course. Mm-hmm. And these 21 strategies are like what I found to be, there are like these 21 moments in every interaction, from even from when before you approach the girl to when you have her back at your place and, you know, you're about to have sex with her. There are like these 21 moments that I've kind of identified, and a lot of it came from watching infield footage of me and Zach going out and, you know, meeting women and, you know, the various different pitfalls and hurdles and stumbling blocks that we would hit would usually be in these 21 moments. So what this course does is it basically teaches you how to circumvent and how to come off most attractively in all these 21 moments, from before you meet her, like how to position yourself in a way that, like, you know, is attractive, you know, to how you walk up and open her, how you get her to start flirting with you, because that's a big problem a lot of guys have, is, mm-hmm. you know, getting women to actually invest and actually flirt with you rather than just have like a nice little polite conversation at the bar, you know, give you the little pity pat and be like, it was nice meeting you, I had to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's how to keep, you know, keep spiking her emotions, how to segue into rapport with her, how to, you know, I even have a whole section in there, you know, with three distinct strategies for just how to listen effectively. You know, it's just something that's never taught. But like guys, most of the time guys, just when a girl's in front of them, they just wait till she stops talking so they can say their next thing. Whereas these three strategies are how to actually listen tactfully, like how to listen in a way that you're really hearing what she's saying in the subtext, and how to, like, you know, structure your approach according to what she's saying. Because Josh, a lot of times girls will give you the blueprint of how they want to be seduced as they're talking. You know, it's not going to be obvious. She's not going to come out and say, okay, I want you to do this thing. Mm-hmm. But if you know what you're listening for, she's going to give you clues and hints on what she responds to emotionally, and, you know, ways that you can kind of hit those emotional hot buttons to get her sexually aroused, to get her excited, to get her to the point that she, you know, that you're a guy that she wants to meet up with. So that's what these 21 strategies are. Hmm. In terms of making it available, right now it is available again. We took it, we opened it to our internal list. We got some amazing results. The guys on our forum are posting some really cool field reports and that kind of thing, like talking about the dates they were getting. So we got, we had about 250 beta testers. We closed it. And then we reopened it, we closed it again, and now we're just reopening it again for the third time because, you know, our servers are back up and we can accept more students. Mm-hmm. So, because, you know, it is a training course, it wears a lot on our, you know, data servers and that kind of thing. We had to make sure that we have, you know, the allocated bandwidth to, you know, handle all the videos and the quizzes and, you know, all the different multimedia stuff that's included with this. But yeah, it is open. So if guys are interested in that, they should, you know, definitely check it out, read more about it on our information page and that kind of thing.
Well, we're going to have a link, or probably a button actually just below this interview. And anyone who's interested in that, and checking out and learning a little bit more information about what's in the advanced dating strategies with Rob Judge, click on that button and you'll get more information on it right there. Just any information that you need. Is there any way guys can get free content if they want to get free content from you too? Like, is there like a way they can put in their email and get something sent to their email address?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, when we were putting this course together, we kind of were very conscious of that. You know, a lot of these guys are skeptical of you know, shelling out money for dating advice when, you know, some of it, you know, guys might not know who I am. So we created a comic book that just kind of tells the story of me and Zach in kind of like a funny, creative way of how we kind of stumbled on these 21 strategies. So it's this kind of funny, you know, 12-page comic book with a essay at the end that kind of like an introduction to the philosophy of the course. And then we have you know, a 22-minute video that's all content. You know, there's no marketing pitch or anything in it. Mm-hmm. That it's just me demonstrating three of the flirting strategies on this really hot friend of ours, Nikki, who was nice enough to, you know, come over and kind of like give her perspective on things and explain what she's feeling as I'm demonstrating these strategies. So, you know, and even if you just take those three things, you know, never buy anything, those will just, you know, help your game out. We've got tons of emails from guys who said they went out, you know, use those three strategies like that night when they went out and got numbers. And some guys even said, you know, they went out and got laid, or, you know, just using those three things. And then the third video is a little infield footage with the breakdown. And then at the end, we record a teleconference, which we actually give away. So we actually have like, you know, four pieces of content that, you know, if you're a little skeptical, you want to learn more about it, you can check out these, you know, this information before you actually, you know, jump in and actually grab the course.
That's a great idea, man. That's really generous of you to do all that, because it's a lot of work to put all this stuff together away for free. I know. I work on this full time. So, well, that's great, man. Rob, this has been a fantastic interview. I really appreciate your time. And, you know, I first got on, I thought it was going to suck, and then no, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I knew it was going to be amazing. And I've talked to you before, and I know the level of your understanding of this stuff, which is why I asked you to come on this in the first place. And more than happy to offer, you know, that. Any of my guys who get on this, you know, who actually want to learn more about you, to be able to offer them an opportunity to learn it straight from you and then also get some information from you. If advanced dating strategies is only open for a limited time, then you may want to jump on that now. If you want to risk it and you want to get more information, you can go ahead and do that. But I would probably do both if I were you, and just jump on board and get it and then, you know, get some other information. But whenever you get advanced dating strategies, you're going to get all these techniques and everything within the training area, so it's not like it's going to really matter. But I would definitely, if you do want to get, if you think you might want all of the 21 moments and not just a few of them explained, and you want to master the whole thing all the way through and at least have all those tools there to reference later on, then you probably want to jump on that immediately. But you know, if you're not sure, you do not want all the rest of those, but you do want some free information, go ahead and hop on. I'll have a button to get advanced dating strategies, like straight to learn more information about it. Before, you know, if you decide to buy, that's awesome. If not, then whatever, it's totally cool. And if not, they'll have another button as well for you to get some, for people to get some, free information from you. So that'd be ideal.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And just to add really quick, you know, if you are a little skeptical, we do offer a 60-day, you know, money back guarantee on the advanced dating strategies. So, you know, and like really like it's not like this is like something we say and we don't honor. Like really, if like you get on there and you're finding that you just don't like it or it just doesn't fit with your personality or, you know, whatever reason, just drop me an email, say, hey, you know, it just isn't working, and, you know, we'll refund all your money within 60 days. No problem.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's, I think that, you know, more importantly, you know, than the skepticism, I'm actually just making sure the guys who actually do want it don't wait, because I don't want it to get closed.
Again. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that would worry me, is that this interview comes out and then, you know, the guys go to get it and then it's already closed again. So definitely click on it to see if it's available still. Maybe the first thing you want to do. And then if it is, then you can make a decision then. So, awesome. Thank you so much, Rob. I appreciate it, man. And I look forward to hearing all about more of this and to getting you on another interview in the future and just talking to you more about the stuff and seeing you when I come to New York.
Definitely, man. It's a pleasure as always. Thanks for having me. This has been great.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.